Today on Annenberg Radio News...
There is enough food to go around, and there's enough out there if I can just figure out how to get it.
Californians look for a new way to feed the hungry and keep less food from going to waste. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, April 2nd. I'm Jonathan Horn. The American Civil Liberties Union and the National Immigration Law Center announced today they filed a lawsuit against Los Angeles immigrant detention facilities. Adriana Venegas Chavez reports.
Abelardo Chavez and Ala Suvirova are two of more than 200 former detainees who joined a lawsuit against Los Angeles detention facilities for what they say are intolerable conditions. ACLU and the National Immigration Law Center stated that one of the facilities, known as B18, in downtown Los Angeles is being misused. In the lawsuit, it is stated that at B18, detainees cannot be held for more than 12 hours. Attorney Marisol Orihuela describes B18.
Men and women spend these weeks without ever seeing the light of day, except when they board the buses that shuttle them back and forth to and from B18. It is shameful that immigration authorities hold detainees in such appalling conditions. Unfortunately, B18 is just a particularly bad example of the appalling conditions under which immigrants are detained throughout this country.
Chavez, a 52-year-old Mexican immigrant living in Los Angeles since 1970, was held in B18 for 2 months. He says that he was not granted any of the basic needs or even a phone call to his two sons.
First of all, they have us there without allowing us to shower, clean up, or even shave. We are not allowed to communicate with our families. We can't get anything from our personal things. They confiscate them. We can't send or receive mail.
Suvorova, a Russian immigrant married to an American citizen, says she was held in B18 for 2 weeks without shower or a change of clothes.
You need to eat because you're hungry, and you look at your hands, they're dirty, and you look at the floor, they're dirty, and bugs, or it's stressful, it's really bad.
In a statement released by the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano is calling for a comprehensive review of the nation's immigration detention practices. Adriana Venegas Chavez, Annenberg Radio News.
Another $100,000 in reward money is being offered by an anonymous donor to find witnesses to the accident that killed 18-year-old USC student Adriana Backen and injured Marcus Garfinkel on Sunday. The money is in addition to $135,000 put up by USC, the Los Angeles City Council and County Board of Supervisors. Police are still looking for the driver in the hit-and-run and the vehicle, possibly a Honda Accord, Toyota Corolla, or a Lexus. Medical marijuana is back in the headlines. Supporters of legalization claim taxing and regulating the drugs is a way to earn some much-needed revenue. Medical marijuana is already legal in California, but LAPD Chief William Bratton is not happy with how loosely the practice is regulated. Caitlin Finero has more.
Last month, U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder said pot dispensaries operating under California law will be safe from the reach of federal officials. But California's medical marijuana dispensaries aren't in the clear yet. L.A. Police Chief Bratton is calling for marijuana to be regulated and sold at regular pharmacies. Yes, Chief Bratton wants you to pick up your marijuana, stacked next to Lipitor and Viagra, right at your local Walgreens. California voters approved legalizing marijuana to treat some medical conditions back in 1996, but few regulations were put in place for how it would be dispensed and managed. Bruce Merkin of the Marijuana Policy Project agrees that regulating medical pot would be a step in the right direction for legitimizing medical marijuana, but that it won't come easily.
To do the most sensible thing, which would be to have it in pharmacies and treat it like any other prescription drug, federal law and federal policy have to change, and frankly, the states are going to have to drag the federal government kicking and screaming into the 21st century.
Medical marijuana dispensaries have popped up across the state with little oversight. In 2007, a moratorium was put on new dispensaries while the city figured out how to regulate them. 2 years later, there is still no agreement about how to dispense the drug. Caitlin Finaro, Annenberg Radio News.
Groups of Filipinos are asking an L.A. federal judge, where's the money? Judge Manuel El Real will have to explain what happened to more than $5 million that he controlled during his 40-year tenure. Real is a controversial judge who in the past was publicly reprimanded, removed from cases, and threatened with impeachment. Now, the lawyers for several Filipino groups have petitioned a federal appeals court for a detailed accounting of more than $35 million he was entrusted with 10 years ago. Real was supposed to manage the money from the estate of the late Philippine dictator Ferdinand Marcos, while the courts determined who would inherit the funds. The appeal does not accuse him of wrongdoing, but says his brief, confusing summary of account activity doesn't show if all the money has been properly dispersed. Anti-gang activists and law enforcement officers are talking about a new approach to battling gang violence. Karen Marcus reports.
The Hot Zone approach is a community-focused effort to reduce violence in gang-ridden areas. The city's plan is to reduce gang violence by 15% in 2009 by adding extra funds for education and job training. Celeste Freeman is a journalist who reports on gang violence and law enforcement for her blog, Witness LA. She said there's ultimately only one way to prevent gang violence.
Caring adults who say that they're worth something and a sense of community that are going to give them purpose.
LAPD Chief William Bratton is optimistic about the reduction in gang violence. He says gang violence is down this year.
Had a 11.4% reduction in gang crime so far this year, along with a reduction in our gang homicides.
But Freeman says gang violence is still too high.
So while violence has gone down, we're still the gang capital of the world, and it's not gone down far enough.
There are more than 250 active gangs in Los Angeles. The LAPD handles more than 6,000 gang-related crimes a year. A July 2007 study by the LA County Auditor shows the county spends $105 million annually to fight gangs. Karen Marcus, Annenberg Radio News.
The Port of Long Beach is expected to release a report that highlights California's dilemma, how to create jobs without hurting the environment. The final environmental impact report says the port's $750 million harbor expansion would create 14,000 permanent local jobs. The expansion would help a struggling LA county that is facing nearly an 11% unemployment rate. The project has faced strong opposition by environmentalists who argue port expansion would lead to more pollution. One of the largest sources of pollution in the country, 2,400 premature deaths a year, are linked to emissions from the ports of Long Beach and Los Angeles. Tonight, temperatures will drop into the mid-50s. Tomorrow, more clouds with some sun peeking through. The high will be 65 degrees and bottom out at 50. Later on Annenberg Radio News, it seems no one is immune from the economic downturn. We will look at how small businesses are dealing with the financial meltdown. ¥30% of all food grown in California goes to waste. In the Coachella Valley, where eight out of 10 residents live in poverty, the amount of food is wasted is even greater. Many are unable to adequately feed their families. At the same time, fresh produce dies on the vines around them. Tom Sparks talks to one organization that is trying to balance things out.
Adolfo Basillo is a field laborer here in the Coachella Valley. It's about 150 miles east of Los Angeles. Adolfo, his wife, and his five children all live in this cramped, rusted-out trailer. It's located in the town of Mecca, the second poorest city in the United States. Even though Adolfo's trailer park is surrounded in every direction by acres of produce,
la pizca de limón, la pizca de las verduras,
much of which goes to waste,
lechuga,
the food is beyond his property line,
broccoli,
and if he touches it, he could be arrested.
En la uva.
Adolfo is hungry. And so are his wife and his children.
We need more food. 70% of what we harvest in this valley goes to other states.
About 6 miles down the road, one organization is trying to do something about it. Christy Porter is the founder of Hidden Harvest.
We rescue this fabulous produce that's left behind. And this is stuff that you can't even buy at Bristol Farms. This is, you know, high-end, beautiful produce that's just going to be plowed under.
The food is then distributed to food banks and hungry families around the county. Hungry families like Adolfo's.
We know that the most desperately poor in our area are living in ranchos or these trailer encampments. So we do a door-to-door where we take the food boxes to them in the labor camps.
Salvaging crops, or gleaning, as it's called, is not a new idea.
Gleaning is an old, old concept. The Bible, the Iliad, and it's been around for forever.
But the idea came to Porter from just a simple observation.
I see, on the way to work, crops going to waste.
Not only was the food rotting, but hungry people were everywhere.
Right where we're sitting right now, 99.9999% of all kids in the school district have free lunch.
Meaning their level of poverty qualifies them for the state-funded lunch program. So Porter spent over a year researching, fundraising, and coordinating with local farmers. Then, in 2001, Hidden Harvest was born. Christy remembers the first day.
At dawn, 5:30 in the morning, we were supposed to pick our first field of green beans. There they all were with their little buckets. The green beans were there. The sun came up. They picked them. We loaded them in the truck. We drove them directly to the well in the desert, which is a place in Palm Springs, and gave them away to people standing in the line. And it was a miracle. It worked. It worked.
8 years later, the program now has about 60 volunteers and 5 produce trucks. They have collected and distributed over 6 million pounds of food to the hungry, and they've also paid local field workers over $120,000 in wages.
That's more than I could ever have hoped for.
So if the program is helping people here, why can't the same thing be done in other agricultural communities throughout California? Here in the Imperial Valley, about 200 miles south of the Coachella Valley, longtime resident Elise Diaz explains why she thinks it hasn't happened yet.
There needs to be a monetary benefit to the farmers to help them get tax deductions for the remainder of the crops.
So why no tax breaks for the donation of these crops? Back at Hidden Harvest, a frustrated Porter explains.
The way the tax side of it works is that the IRS says that if it's left in the field and they're about to plow it under, then it ipso facto doesn't have any value, so they can't take a deduction for it.
And that not only affects whether farmers would be willing to participate, but more importantly, whether food can get into poor people's mouths rather than spoiling in the fields.
We feed the world. California feeds the world. Why don't we just feed our own people just a little bit better? Why not?
Tom Sparks, Annenberg Radio News.
Now back to our top story. Latino small businesses got a big boost today with the launch of the Latino Business Chamber of Greater Los Angeles. Richie Duchon has more on the launch and what the chamber hopes to accomplish.
In the new Los Angeles Theater Company in downtown's Old Bank District, Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa told an audience of about 200 Latino business and political leaders that these are tough economic times.
Last year, foreclosures were up 4 times what they were the year before. The unemployment rate was at 8% in October, 12% in February.
Villaraigosa said Los Angeles has long been an economy dominated by small business.
And disproportionately, that small business community looks like all of you. Latino-owned small businesses are the fastest growing.
Villaraigosa said that's why the Latino small business community needs a strong advocate. Jorge Coralejo is the chairman and CEO of the new Latino Business Chamber of Greater Los Angeles. He says he hopes it will help the Latino business community connect with 2 specific groups.
But we felt that we needed to develop an organization that could be better at play with corporate America, better at play with government on issues regarding economic development, business development in the greater Los Angeles area.
The Latino Business Chamber hopes to help teach small business owners how to better access the loan market and use technology to better market themselves. CEO of U.S. Bancorp, Richard Davis, told the audience he was on hand to represent the strong relationship banks would play in helping Latino small businesses obtain more credit and cheaper credit. Davis rallied the crowd, saying today is a moment that will be remembered.
Earlier today, in London, England, the G20 finished its meeting. That's so yesterday's news. Today, in Los Angeles, California, the greatest city in the world, we launched the Latino Business Chamber of Commerce. It's indeed a pleasure to be a part of it. Let's give it our best and let's celebrate its success. Thank you very much.
Davis told the audience the Latino small business community is an important part of the California economy and therefore the U.S. economy. Richie Dushan, Annenberg Radio News.
To get an idea of what it takes to be an entrepreneur in this recession, I called Roberto Berrigan, president of the Valley Economic Development Center. If I wanted to open up my own business in this economy, what am I looking at?
You're looking at probably the toughest time to ever do that. We've in fact have businesses, individuals who have been approved for microloans, loans below $35,000, to help them set up the business, and they're actually holding on to the money and kind of waiting for a little bit.
Hard to sell things in a recession, though, wouldn't you say?
It is. So the thing about it is that your business better be one that is currently somewhat recession-proof. If you're going to open up a spa right now, that's going to be a really tough business in this current environment, unless you're the only spa within a 100-mile radius.
Companies are not hiring anymore. Are more people than before trying to start their own business just because they need work?
More people than before are exploring the possibility of starting their own business. Our classes of entrepreneurial training and microenterprise training and business training have, in fact, grown.
Is it even worse in California than other places?
Besides Michigan, it is the worst in California.
Why?
Because this is where the home of the subprime loan and the highest increases in housing values across the country were experienced here right in California. And the complete crash and burn of subprime, Alt-A, and anything outside of a bank home loan all happened here in Southern California. And so you have a huge number of people who've been laid off by Countrywide and New Century and Ditech and all the other, you know, lending organizations.
So is there a timetable? I mean, what are we looking at to get back into economic stability here?
I think we're going to see this year is going to be tough. 2009 is going to be a tough year. I don't think we're going to see an end to this recession for the remainder of this year, and we probably won't see the beginnings of a recovery into early next year.
Okay, so what about more people in ethnically diverse areas, African American, Asian American? Do they have more challenges in opening a business than anybody else?
I think they have challenges. One very key challenge is access to capital. Unfortunately, we've never quite resolved this issue, particularly within minority communities, either because of the lack of financial institutions in our communities or by the continuing challenge of minority businesses to borrow money. So we continue to see challenges in those areas, whether it's growing your business or whether it's trying to find new capital to start your business.
What about the taxes increased by California? Was it one penny? Is that really going to change things?
I think it's going to continue to hold down consumer spending, but it's not going to do much into the small business.
When this gets better, do you see them lowering that tax again?
I think there's actually a sunset on that tax at some near point in the future.
So that means that they're going to take it away?
Yeah, well, hopefully. You know how it is. Sometimes what happens, they get very comfortable and they like it too much and they don't give it away. They don't give it back.
So I'm just looking for some good news here, you know?
I think the good news is that what we're seeing is that the foreclosure rate is starting to slow down. I think the housing values in California are starting to stabilize. So I think that's kind of the big issue right now is these foreclosures have to stop. The home values need to kind of stabilize, and that needs to happen first before anything else does.
Well, something to look forward to, I guess. Thanks very much for the time.
Anytime.
Roberto Berrigan is the president of the Valley Economic Development Center. Well, it's early April. It's that time of the year again. The gates of Dodger Stadium are opening for the first time since last year's playoff run. But game still doesn't count. It'll be the Dodgers and the Angels tonight. Should feel like a regular season game. The starters are projected to play into the seventh inning. The real home opener for the Dodgers is not until April 13th against the San Francisco Giants. Now we check in with Skylar Kenny to find out what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Skylar?
Yeah, thanks, John. Big news for Trojan basketball fans. Tim Floyd has announced he will remain at USC. Plus, we'll have an update on the deadly hit-and-run accident near USC last Sunday. An anonymous donor has now increased the reward. Find out by how much. And we'll also have latest on the fatal big rig crash in La Cañada last night. All that and more at 6 o'clock on Trojan Vision.
Thanks very much, Skylar. Well, that's it for this Thursday. We had help today from Kim Daniels, Ariel Edwards-Levy, Ryan Nunez, and Esther Pomeroy. Lata Pandya is our producer, and Caitlin Finar was the executive producer. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Jonathan Horn.